I mean, the league system in Germany, that's mostly, so today it's like half a year where we have our season, and you might have something like 8 or 9 team competitions within this period of time. So yeah, every 3 to 4 weeks. And then you might have some state championship, national championship within that phase of the year as well. So you might end up competing every 2 or every 3 weeks.
Welcome, Philip, to Evidence Strong Show. It's my pleasure to have you. Could you please briefly introduce yourself?
Excited to be here. Thanks for having me. My name is Philip Lettner. I'm 30 years old. I'm from Germany. Started strength training like at the age of 18. So that's a bit over 12 years ago. Got into CrossFit. Coming from CrossFit, I also got into a weightlifting club here in my hometown. Then I picked up weightlifting, got more and more into weightlifting, and now I'm just a weightlifter. I've been competing for 10 years now. Within this weightlifting community, I also picked up a little job within our federation. So I'm responsible for weightlifting within my district. So that's a national federation, then a state federation, and then it's districts. And because of that, I'm also responsible for our league here in our district. And that's pretty much the reason I'm here today, because we want to speak a little bit about our German weightlifting league system.
Yes, so we had a brief conversation through messages on a Patreon community about the interview that was just released with Marianne, who did the research on cue points. And you mentioned that in Germany you have a league. And what is the league? I would like you to explain so I don't make any assumptions.
I think I'll explain with the history. Bits. So in Germany, we had, I have to actually look that up, with the sources I have, 1922, when they first of all did a German national team champion. In 1964, so that's 60 years ago, they introduced the system called Bundesliga. That's the German National League. Back in the day, and this is just, I don't really have any written records about this. This is just what was referred to me from all the weightlifters. Back in the day, I mean, we're talking the 1960s, so there's no females around. They were doing it like, you have a team of 6 athletes. 5 of those athletes had to have a certain body weight combined. I think it was 400 kg. So an average of 80 kg body weight, and one athlete was not restricted. And then you just look at what they lifted. So you added up the snatch, all the weight lifted in the snatch, best attempts lifted in the snatch of each lifter. And then you compare the results of that with the other team. So one team, say, snatched a total of 600 kg and the other team snatched a total of 550 kg. So the team with 600 kg. And then you did the same for the clean and jerk. And then there's also one team wins clean and jerk, and then you can do the same for the total. So in the end, you got 3 points, right? 1 point for the snatch, highest score, highest total weight lifted. You got 1 point for clean and jerk, and you get 1 point for total. So one team can win by either 2-1 or 3-0 point. And then you do that within the league. So every team lifts against each other. And in the end, you just add up the points, right? And best team is the team that made the most points.
So is it like in classical competition we have now, that classic competition that we have now, that it's 3 snatch attempts and 3 clean and jerk attempts?
Exactly the same. I mean, back in the day, it might have been yet that you had a 4th attempt for if you wanted to set a record that would not count within the competition. I think that was a thing back in the day. It's not in the rules anymore. I think that was also part of the international rules in weightlifting, if I'm not totally misinformed. But yeah, it's just the same principle. The way lifts are organized is a little bit different, but I'll have an example later on where I can explain that. And so that was the way they were running it back, just weightlifted. Now, you can imagine that this caused a few issues, because first of all, if you're having a team of, you know, 5 athletes of your team are restricted in body weight. So say you had an athlete with a body weight of 60 kg, right? So severely below the average, and that athlete might have gotten 6 days out of the competition. That might lead to you, if you don't have a 60 kg athlete replacing that one, you might not have to take this one athlete, put another athlete in, but you might have to change your whole squad brought up just for your team to make the way, right? I guess there were some issues with that. And then, of course, you also have the issue. If you've ever cut for a competition, that is somewhat stressful. If you're having to basically cut for a competition every 3 to 4 weeks, because, I mean, the league system in Germany, that's mostly, so today it's like half a year where we have our season, and you might have something like 8 or 9 team competitions within this period of time. So yeah, every 3 to 4 weeks. And then you might have some state championship, national championship within the pace of the year as well. So you might end up competing every 2 or every 3 weeks. If you're having to cut for every single competition, not really pleasant. And then of course, you can also imagine if you don't, right? It's like, yeah, if you don't make weight, if you're approaching, or if you're going to a competition or championship where you have to be in your weight class and you don't make weight, you're not allowed to compete. Same back then, right? Your 5 restricted athletes had a body weight of over 400 kg at weigh-in. You could have been, or you don't score a result due to that, right? So as you can see, it's a system that works, but it's a system that had a lot of issues. And so what they came up with in 1918 was the system we still use today. It's not Sinclair, it's not Q-Points, it's a deduction-based system. At the time, I have to say that was actually pretty genius, because if we are talking about the late 70s, early 80s, the devices we use to do this interview here, right, computer, did not exist, right? So, I mean, today, if you're doing a competition with Sinclair or Q-Points, that's easy, because you can do that with basic Excel spreadsheet, right? Back in the day, not possible. So if you want to have your score, so you had to come up with a system where you could do the scoring very, very fast on a blackboard, and a deduction-based system where you just assign a deduction based on body weight of the athlete, and you deduct that of the weight snatched and the weight clean and jerk, and what remains is the score of the athlete. That's something you can do on a blackboard, right? No need to have some calculation, right? I mean, today we of course run it also with a computer just because it's a lot more convenient, but you can do that on a black, right?
Okay, so just to make it crystal clear, the deduction system is the weight in kilograms the athlete lifted minus their body weight in kilograms also.
Yes.
And the rest that remains is a score.
Yeah. What you can see here is the table we use today. So that was last updated in 2004 to actually include women, right? Because as I said, back in the 1980, female weightlifting was not really a thing back in the days, so they had to include them as well. So what you can see here is body weight, and you have to read that up to this body weight. Male or a female has a deduction of this. So say, let's take a realistic body weight, say an athlete weighing in at 65 or in 5 kg would get the deduction of up to 66.0. So for a male, that would mean 60.5, and for a female, that's 32. If a male and a female weighing in at 65.5 kg both snatch 70 kg, the male would score 70 minus 60.5, so that's 9.5 as a score, and the female would get 70 minus 32, that's 38 as a score for that snatch. There's one caveat in here, and it's that you can never have negatives. So say our male would just snatch 50 kg, he would score 0. If he snatches 55, still 0. Snatches 60, still 0. 61, that would be above it, so he would score 0.5. There's one thing within this table, and that's males between 79.1 and 95.5 kg body weight, they just have a deduction of their full body.
So the correction in deduction, because you said before that it was a body weight before, was the deduction changed because we needed to have comparison with female athlete?
No, it was changed so you can just weigh in whatever you want, right? With this system we have today, you can have six athletes weighing in 120 kg, right? And they can go up against a team that has just a body weight, or each athlete has a body weight of 70 kg, and you can still compare them. right? It's just to avoid that you are restricting body weight for the whole team.
So two things changed. The females were introduced, and then the 400 total is not a rule now. You can have 5 or 6 athletes now.
Exactly. You can weigh in whatever you
want. Is it 6 athletes?
It's mainly 6 athletes. So in the higher leagues, 6 athletes, and you're using the scoring system. In the lower league, for example, the league I am responsible for, you can change that a little. So for me, we also have 6 athletes lifted, but we only score 5 of them.
Oh, I see.
So one score is 6,
so
right?
Is it the lowest one does not count to the team total?
Exactly. So, or does not count towards the total points in snatch, and the lowest points in clean and jerk does not count towards the points in clean and jerk. And then you still add clean and jerk snatch to compare for the totals. So I can show you how that looks in our highest league. That's Bundesliga. So I have, this is just one of the many protocols of this season. So in this case, it was Mutterstadt versus Speyer, two of our best teams in the league at the moment. So what you can see is Mutterstadt, they had 6 athletes lifting. If you're familiar with international weightlifting a little bit, you might know this guy. Max Lange is a German international weightlifter. Sarah Davis, probably a name that's familiar with many people out there. And Nina Schroth is also a German international. So they all lift. They snatch. Reißen, German for snatch. Stoßen, German for clean and jerk. Zweikampf, German total. First, second, and third attempt. Their body weight. And this is the deduction that is assigned to it. As I said, these two, they have their full body weight deducted. Heavy athlete gets a little less deducted. For the light athletes, it's the same. Then, of course, the females have a much lower deduction, right?
Does the league prescribe how many females on the team has to get? No.
There's some issues with the female scoring, but I'm going to explain that later on.
Awesome.
Because that's, you always have to, as I said, this system was invented in the 1980, right? That was when it was introduced, and females then were later included into this system. You can see, let's take Sarah Davis. She had her best snatch attempt was 97 kg minus 39. That's 58, right? And then you sum all these points or all these scores of the individual athletes up, and you get the total score for snatch. You do the same for clean and jerk, and then you add snatch and clean and jerk, and you get the score of the team. So they went up against Speyer. Speyer might also have a lot of familiar names. Probably the best known athlete here is Nina Schroth. David Sanchez Lopez is a Spanish international. Simon Brandt Huberg, a German international. Lisa Marie Schweitzer, German international. Julia Schwarzbach. If you're into weightlifting for a really long time, you might know the name Julia Rode. And Jürgen Spies, he's a former German international, I think, has multiple appearances at the Olympics and is a former European champion. There's one thing you might recognize here, and that's this team has 2 foreign athletes, and this team also has 2 foreign athletes, and that is a number that is restricted.
I see.
So you cannot have more than 2 foreign athletes lifting for your team, which is, I mean, especially first Bundesliga, there's a good amount of money involved in there. I mean, Sarah Davis and Risto Ristov or Nina Sturks, they are not coming to Germany just for the honor of competing here with us. There's some money to be made for them coming over here. So you always, or these teams, of course, always aim to have the best internationals on those 2 spots that are available. Again, they also snatch clean and jerk. And if you now look at the scores, 312 to 348. So that point for snatch was awarded to Speyer. Clean and jerk got a bit closer, 490 versus 499. So that again, point awarded to Speyer. And then total, if they win both the snatch and the clean and jerk, they also win the total. 803 to 847. So in this case, Speyer had a 3-0 victory over Mutterstadt. There's one thing I could mention here, referees. First, and so all the, we were trying trying to get this as easy as possible. So there's only one referee for those competitions, not three, and certainly no jury, right? It's just one referee. First and second Bundesliga, that referee has to come from another team below that. So state leagues and below, you're just having, you can have a judge from your own team if you have one with an appropriate license.
So do the team visit each other?
That's actually some way where these teams make money, right? Because they can, in this case, this was hosted by Mutterstadt. So first tier here is the one that hosts. And they, I mean, with these competitions, they sometimes show it, but there's a attendance of a few hundreds, maybe spectators with these competitions. So that's quite a show here. Now, as I said, this was just one competition. If we look to the whole structure, this is our Bundesliga this season. First Bundesliga, there's just one group, right? So that's all across Germany. Second Bundesliga, you have three groups, and that's just group A is the clubs in the northern area. B is east, and group C is west. So those are just assigned due to the proximity. So German, you're from Australia, so you're probably going to laughing a bit about this Germany, but you try to make travel as easy as possible, right? So if we look in our first Bundesliga, there's 9 teams. Each team has a competition against every other team. So every team will have 8 competitions this season. At the moment, Oberwichheim is first. They had 4 competitions. They had 4 competitions and they won each or every single point. So they have 12 points and didn't lose one. And then there's some teams with a mixed result, right? For example, Mutterstadt, as so Speyer also, they had only 3 competitions up until today, won all points. And Mutterstadt lost 1-5 and did not win 4. And 3 of them were against Speyer, as I showed. Right, so let's show you, and I'll try my very best now to show you a little bit of how we run things, and maybe I can show you a little bit why we do that, and that's mainly because this gets exciting, right? We want to have fun. We don't only want to lift weights, we want to have fun. So this was the competition I was involved in with my club, Schweinfurt. So we were hosted by Forstenried in this case. And as I said before, we ran things a little different than normal tournament format, where you would just have everyone does their snatch attempts, weight increases on the bar, and then everyone does the clean and jerk. As you can imagine, both teams have 12 lifters, or both teams have 6 lifters, so there's 12 lifters, but it can go from a 84 kg female up to a 120 kg male, so there would be a lot of athletes following themselves. Not really that great for the athlete, and not really that nice for the spectators. So what we do here is something we call block lifting. The first thing we do is every team has 3 of their lifters assigned to block 1, and everyone has 3 lifters assigned to block 2. And now the order is block 1. So in this case, the green athletes, they all do their first snatch attempt, weight increases on the bar. Then they all do their first at their second snatch attempt. Then they all do their third snatch. And then it goes on with block 2. Block 2, first snatch attempt, second snatch attempt, third snatch attempt. Then you have a short pause because athletes from block 1 could of course already warm up for their clean and jerk while the second block was doing their snatch. And then you do the same for the clean and jerks. So first clean and jerk attempt, second clean and jerk attempts, third clean and jerk attempts of the first block, and then the second block comes after that.
So within a block, the athletes, the weight on the bar increases like in normal competition, or everyone goes first lifter, second, third, first, second, third, first, second, third?
The weight increases for the first attempt, then you go down again.
Okay.
Then weight goes up for the second attempt. And I'll just show you. Because that was, as I said, a competition I was involved in. So at this stage, I'm not showing you the whole competition, but we already finished our snatch. So in this case, the other team made a total of a score of 116.1 and we made a total score of 144.6. So we won snatch it, the point for snatch, right? And stage where we are at here is also after the first block of Plane and Jerk. So their team made total score of 103.8 and we made a total score of 122.4.
Well, one question. So the opposition team has 8 lifters. Your team had...
7.
7. So how you deal with that?
That is something, great question. That is a special rule. You have 6 athletes, but you also have 2 replacement. And those replacement lifters can either come in due to injury, which hopefully does not happen to offer, but you can also use that to maximize your score. So I can't really talk about the other team because I don't really know their lifters, but something I did, so I'm also the coach of my team. Something I did here was I had 1 female lifter here and I planned and I did so replace her with a male lifter. And the reason why I did that was just to maximize score. So if you look at her, she snatched 50 and she scored 18 because of that. Our male here, he's coming back from an injury. The best I could imagine him snatching that day would have been 113. If he would have done that, he would have scored 9. That's lower than 18. So I did not want to put him in. However, in clean and jerk, with her best result possible, maybe 65 that day. That would have given her 33 as a score. With him, I was pretty certain that he would, so this is best result for her. At the very least, I wanted him to start at 135. If he would have only done that, that would have been 31 points, or for a score of 31. However, best, so second attempt as planned would be 140, now already more. And then best possible result for him that day, I imagine something like 143. That's higher. So what I choose was to have him lift in the clean and jerk and her lift in snatch. And the other team did that with 2 of their lifters. So that's pretty common move because of the mechanics of this deduction system, that you replace athletes that are scoring higher in the snatch with athletes that score higher in the clean and jerk. I can go back here because if we look at this in Bundesliga, Speyer also did that, right? They had Julia Schwarzbach here lifting the snatch and then Jürgen Spies replaced her in clean and jerk.
That sounds like it makes the competition very exciting because not only they audience is wondering who will lift what, but also they're wondering who will come out for which lift and how the coaches will manipulate the athletes and the results to score the most. So that sounds exciting.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I mean, to the coach, this is obvious, right? I as a coach, so especially in this competition where I was involved in, which I go back to now, I know that ahead of times, right? Because I have some form of calculation I do ahead and I know what moves I will make, right? I mean, there's always the slight chance that there's injury occurring, right? Where you're like, okay, I plan to do something, but now I have to change up plans. But that's not usually the case. So as I said, I wanted to show you how exciting that can get. And that's what we are going to do now, because now, as you can see, block 2 still has to do their clean and jerk. So I just always have to look a little bit to put the appropriate numbers in. So in this case, we started out, or my team, my athlete started it out. He went for 125 and he made it. Then up next, air team, I think Shimo, he started out at 127 and made his attempt. Then Daniel Wiedem, 128. Yes. So with your first attempt, in this case, you just want to get on it, right? You don't want to have a bomb out because that would certainly hurt your team. Their lifter here started out at 130. So now all of their lifters had 1 good attempt in and jack. Now with us, as I said it, I replaced my female lifter in this block with my male athlete. He opened up at 130 and made it. And then I came out and made 136. So this is the order of how it was done. And now, as you can see, for the clean and jerk, we are trailing, but just by 2.9 points, or by a score of 2.9. In total, we are already ahead a little over 25 kg, or 25 as a score. So to me as a coach in this moment, I have to think about two things, right? I have to think about score for clean and jerk, and I have to think about score controllable. So the way I think here is like, okay, if they go up 5 kg each attempt, right, which I was relatively certain they would not do in this case, right, and we don't make any lift anymore at this stage, they could win total, right? But that's a really unlikely result, right?
Mm.
Because I mean, as I said, if you're lifting in this format, you know the ability, right? There's a few competitions ahead of things. I mean, there's only so many lifters you have. And so I did not think they would do something like that. And I would certainly not think that we would not make another singlet, right? So at this stage, I'm pretty certain that we will get the point for the total. But clean and jerk, let's see. So second attempt now. So as I said, weight went up for the first attempt, and now we go back down. Once again, my athlete was first at 130. He made his, and then he went out, but at 131, but he missed. Their next lifter, 132, mate, 134, also mate. So at this stage, we have two attempts remaining with my team, and you can already see it's a big advantage having the last attempt, because now we can react. My athlete went for 140, but unfortunately he missed. So as you can see, we are trailing by 5.9 at this point. So of course, what I have to do now is I have to go up by 6 kg, right? So I go for 142 and I make it. So after second clean and jerk attempts, I mean, total is sealed at this point. We're not gonna lose on that one, but score for clean and jerk, we're ahead, but by the tiniest margin possible, 0.1. So now, as I said, we go down again with the weight. My athlete here, I of course did not go for 131, but I went for a high weight with him. So that brings now their lifter up, because he wanted to repeat. And he repeated at 131, and this time he made it. Now again, they're ahead by 3.9. So what I do is I take my lifter and I increase his weight 134, which he made, right? Again, we're ahead. So now that brings the coach of the other team into a pretty, say spicy position, because he has two attempts left. He needs to get ahead, but he also knows that we will have the last two attempts of competition. So what he needs to do is at this point, as a coach, you have to think about the score, but also how are your chances to make attempts, right? What weights are realistic to this athlete? What are chances, right? And that's a lot of thinking that goes on in this moment. He did a pretty nice job, because his lifters made both there. One athlete at 137 and the other athlete also at 137, which brings them ahead by quite some margin, right? So we need, with the last two attempts, we need to increase our total now by 8 kg. And as I said, that's the beauty of this scoring system, right? Because you can, these calculations, you can do them without a computer, right? If we would do this scoring with Sinclair, right, with Factor, you would have to think, okay, how much do I increase this athlete or this athlete, right? Would be a little bit harder to do, but because it's just this deduction system, this is relatively easy. So in this case, of course, I could have my lifter here now go for 143. That would have already put us ahead, but he did not make 140, and I also have one attempt left, so I'm not liking my chart. There's no point for me doing something like that, so I went for 140 with him again, and this time around he made it. So that brings me out for the last attempt of the competition, which, as I said, that's a position you want to have with your team, because now you can dictate the result. We're behind 2.9 points at this point. So what I need to do is I need to go up 3 kg, 145, make. So in the end, we will snatch by quite some margin. Exactly. We win clean and jerk by the tiniest margin possible. We win total again by quite some margin. So say if I would have weighed in 200 grams heavier, right? Or even 100 grams, but I'm not sure my spreadsheet sheet and will show that appropriately. Just 200 grams more on the scale, we are behind. I mean, even 100 grams more, we would still be the second team that made the score, so we would have not gotten the point. But that's all. So that's like what body weight is about in this case. I mean, it doesn't always get this close, but if it gets close, it can get really important. Okay, so as I said, I hope that, as you can imagine, right? I mean, fans were loving it, but I mean, we don't get hundreds of spectators with something like that. We have like 30 to 40 spectators, but I think they'll come back. Because that one I have to say was pretty exciting, all right? Because I mean, we ultimately just traded blows here at each other, and I was... But now, as I said, this is the way we run things. And up next, I think I first of all have to make a little disclaimer. Because, as I said, this scoring system, that's in place for the last 44 years, right? I have to say, that I have to put that out front. This scoring system is what made German weightlifting league system possible the way it is, right? Right? Therefore, it's pretty damn good. However, now that's gonna get me ranting about the issues with this system for the next few minutes. There's a reason you don't use such a deduction-based system anywhere else. That's the reason why you come up with Q points or Sinclair, because if you really look at it, it has certain issues. And the reason I say it is, if you compare the scores athletes make, and I prepared a little product. So I have here our deduction-based system, then I have Sinclair, and then I have Q points. I just want to show you how scoring in both or in those three systems compares to each other. For a 49 kg female and a 96 kg. So a light female versus a heavy. What you can see is, so Sinclair, you got a formula for the males and you got a formula for the females. You usually don't scale them to each other, but you can do that pretty easily. And I did that. In this case, I used the Sinclair 2017 to 2020, and females, I added another factor of 473 divided by 348. Because if you look so Sinclair, just to clarify, it always scales to world record, right?
Yeah.
It always scales to world records. And if I did that here for the males, so this was the world record after the Olympics 2064. I mean, these are the old weight classes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the world records, and that's the Sinclair coefficients. And if you look at it, that's on average more or less 470 points the world records get, right? You do the same for the females, all body weight classes, world records, there's Sinclair, they would make these points according to Sinclair. So these world records would get you, the old world records would get them these. That's also, if you exclude the 90 kg category, because that was not really as competitive as the other weight categories back in the day, for those that have been around since 2016, that's right around 348, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what you can do, and that's just if those scale to 348 and the others scale to 473, you can just use those to scale females to the female world records to the male world record as well. And if you do that, if you use that factor, 473 divided by 348, the old female world records would get these points, right? Which is, again, roughly 473, same as the male. That's why I scale it this way, right? So this is the way I'm doing the scaling, or this is the way we actually scale Sinclair female to male scores. Or this is the way we also scale females in Sinclair here in German, right? Just use a factor like this. Sometimes you don't use the exact factor. Sometimes there's also just a straight 1.4. which I don't really like, because not the precise method of doing it, but you can do some. And if you look at Q points, now I know Professor Hübner said that's not the way to do it, right? But I'm using it, right? Just for practical reason, right? So she'd probably be not too happy with me doing and proposing something like that. I'll just go in, right?
Yeah.
If you look at the Q points formula, that's just what the Q points for males and females again scale, right? So female scale to 306.5, male scale to 463.2, right? And again, you can kind of use that to scale females up to the males. So just briefly, this is the way the scaling is done. One thing here, you might wonder, there's one scoring, or there's one scoring system missing, and that's Roby. Just to put it out there, never use Roby for team scoring, right? It's not appropriate. I mean, because Sanchez, I mean, I did that. I'll just show you. I did two teams here. Team A, 6 lifters, all a body weight of 82 kg. Team B, also 6 lifters, body weight of 89. Both teams snatch the same, right? But due to the mechanics of the Roby system, because it's not a linear system, the team that has one athlete snatching above average actually has the higher score, right? And now, I mean, Roby always uses the world record as reference of the weight class. So what I did here was I was using Roby for the snatch 180, for the clean and jerk 223, because that's the world records at the moment for the 89, right? And then clean and jerk, same, one team with one lifter going above average scoring higher than the team just with all lifters scoring the same or lifting the same. It doesn't look pretty.
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning that Roby points is a ranking system, not taking into account body mass apart from the weight class. So it's a scoring within this weight class in proportion to the world record. And yeah, St. Clair's also use world record, but they take into account the body weight.
Exactly. So I mean, that's like, if that's what I did here, right? Doesn't matter if you weigh in at 82 or if you weigh in at 80, right?
So, yeah.
And so, I mean, for example, in the competition I showed you where I was involved, I was weighing in at 89.4, right? Which would have me ranking against the 96 world records, versus if I would have weighed in 400 grams lighter, I would have gone up against world records 89, right? Which is a huge difference in points made for just a small amount of body weight. And you always also have the issue, you know, if you look at the scores for snatch, clean and jerk, and total, they don't really have to. I mean, you can't really explain that, right? If you have a spectator coming to a competition, how do you explain these scores, right? It doesn't really, it's not something someone outside of weightlifting would ever come to understand easily, right? So just to put that one out there, never think about using rope for some team competitions. So back at this comparison, so what I did here for our, and I mean, this is female one and male one, and you can imagine there's gonna be male two, female two coming up. What I did here was athletes with an equal Sinclair score, right? So these female at 49 kg body weight with a total of 65 kg would score 137.8, and the male at 96, using the scaling system, of course, always got to mention that, would score pretty much the same. If you look at the same lifters in relative deduction, in our deduction system, the female, due to the very low deduction that is assigned to a 49 kg female lifter, would score 34, and the male would score 0. As I said, you can't score below 0. Point is, if this athlete cleaning makes the, gets to that 122 total by doing a clean and jerk of 67 kg, he would still be 28 kg, he would still need to do 28 kg more just to score something in clean and jerk, right? Just not to have a zero. And these are numbers that are really beginner level, right? But there's a huge difference if you look at ours that we use in Germany at the moment, right? I mean, if you have a look between Sinclair and Q points has, with the scaling system, of course, has the female score a little higher than the male. If I'm looking at it from a coaching perspective, I'm probably favoring Q-points here.
Why is that?
I would just gut feeling, I would say these numbers to a 96 kg male might be a little bit easier attained than these numbers for a 40 kg male. But that's just gut feel, right? So I would probably say that Q-points might be a little bit more tall, but certainly not to this degree. Because now, of course, second one, I got the male to a number where he also does 34 points in our deduction-based system. Female still has a snatch of 29 and a clean and jerk of 36. The male at 96, to do the same, needs to snatch 100 and clean and jerk 25. Our system, to these numbers, gives the same score.
I mean, I'm a 90 kg male, so I might have some bias here, but I would say that a 225 total for 96 kg male is a lot more impressive than a 65 total for 49 kg female. I mean, I'll say, I'm not saying that these are numbers female will achieve the first day walking into a gym and picking up a barbell, but I will say that doing these numbers for male at that body weight will take quite some time. And to be honest, I think that those are numbers that are out of reach actually for some lifters.
So as you can see, if you just look at those lower level numbers, females are favored in our system. And that's what you see. And if you look into the leagues, you see a lot more female participation in the lower level, would be expected. So in Germany, we have at the moment like 38%, I think, of the lifters are females and 62% are males, right? Roughly those numbers. If you only take into account athletes up to 35, up to an age of 35. If you go to the masters categories, of course, males have been involved there for a longer time. You have a lot more participation. But say you should see more male lifters than females. And I mean, our competition here, classic example, right? They have 4 females and 4 males. So that's equal. We have 4 females and 3 males. So there's more females at this stage, and we're not even the lowest level here, right? This is state level competition, right? And you still see a lot more participation of female athletes than would be expected. So this is low level. Now let's turn it around, because the scoring system also has issues on the other end of the spectrum. And to do that, I just took the world record totals for the 96s and I took the world record totals for the 49s. And if you look at that, female world record 49s would score total or would score 185 and the male would score 220. So now the male has a severe advantage over the female, right? And if you look at, now if you look at it using Sinclair, those are roughly the same. If you use, or if you look at it using viewpoints, those are roughly the same, right? Here you got like a 2% difference. Here you got like a 4% difference. Again, which one of those two you favor is like maybe a bit of taste involved, but it's certainly not this. Across now, last table here, I took the female and also the female 49 and made her score 225. In order to do that, she would have to do a 256 total. Those are numbers that are between the world records of the 59 class and the 64 class, where I'm like pretty sure that's not gonna happen at 49, like ever, which is also reflected in both Sinclair and Q-point scores, because those would just be ridiculous. How comes? And that's just the point where you use this deduction-based system, right? This is just this deduction system. First, I did one thing here. So as you can see, I'm not really happy with this scoring system, right? It doesn't work on the lower level and it doesn't work in the highest level. I'm pretty outspoken about it within our federation to change that. And the reason for this mechanic, I can just show you. That's something I did for discussion within our federation. So what I did here was I was using the list. So German Weightlifting Federation published for 2022, they published a list of all athletes, or a list that was supposed to have all athletes lifting in Germany and their best totals. And I just took it out from there. I noticed that it's not really complete. So I'm thinking we're missing like 30 or 40% of athletes in this list. So there's, the numbers might be a little bit different, but you can kind of figure out that the mistake that is involved here is pretty much the same across the board. So scale might be a bit off, general. In general, this is how it looks like. And I just, what I did here was I just took their numbers and I put them here. So that's female 55s, lowest total, highest total, female 71s, lowest total, highest total, male 67s, and males 89. Now what I did, I scored them using the deduction-based system. So I just deduction for 55 kg female for 71. And what I came up with was this. So this would be the points score. Of course, you see negative scores here. That is not really possible, the system, but I am assuming the athlete here does not always want to score 0. So you can kind of see that as how much weight he would have to add. And if you look at that, you see that there's some common ground somewhere, right? Right around the middle, there's some common ground. If you go to the lowest level female will be scored a lot higher than the lowest scoring male. But because the difference between the top lifter and the lowest level lifter is smaller for females in the 55 class than males in the 89 class, at the top, a female will score lower than a male, or a light female will score severely lower than a male. I mean, if you look, the main issue you have here is just the difference between a female 55, top female 55, and low level female 55 is way smaller than the difference between a male 89, a top male 89, and a low level male 89, right? So if you can remove those, right? I mean, I did that here, right? Difference here for the 89 was actually a little over 200 kg total. A difference for the females was 7, right? Wow. And yeah, I mean, that's just, it's just natural, right? If, I mean, in this case, the top male we had in this list was 354 kg total. That's pretty good. I mean, he's an international, and the lowest was 147. And I mean, like our top female 55 in this list was 144, right? I mean, you can't have a 200 kg difference to the lowest level, because she would have to do negative snatch or negative clean and jerk, which not really happening, right? And that's actually, you know, you could change the deduction now. And that's also something that was discussed here in German weightlifting, where you want, if you want to make it fair at the top, because as I said, we have an over representation of female athletes in the lower level. We also have an underrepresentation of female athletes at the highest level. So if you go to first Bundesliga, right again, I can just pull this one up. Mm-hmm. If you look at this one, you have two females here. One of them is with Sarah Davis. She's an international. She's a high level international weightlifter. But I mean, if you go down here, Speyer, okay, I mean, they also have three females lifting for their team. But again, you know, four females. Actually, so that's actually a little bit of a bad example, maybe bad luck, but I can just,
but they replaced one of the females during clean and jerk, so they did exactly what you mentioned before.
Yeah, but if you right, if you look at it, or I did some analysis, you actually get, oh well, I guess we have the time, I'll just pick it out. This was an analysis I did for the federation, so this is Bundesliga 2022. So just the year 2022, and I analyzed, or I just looked at how many females or how much females were lifting in snatch, males lifting in snatch, females lifting in clean and jerk, females lifting and males lifting in clean and jerk for the first Bundesliga. And then I also did that for the second Bundesliga. If you look at it, as I said, if you go by that 2022 figure or statistic they published on the federation level, it was 38%. Just a second, 41%. Sorry. So if you, it's roughly 40% females and 60% males up to age 35. So that's the relevant population for this league, right? I mean, there's no 65-year-olds lifting in Bundesliga. Maybe there is, but that would be some exemption in case of a lot of illnesses in the team, right? Where you just, okay, we need to send whatever we got, right? If you look at it, second Bundesliga, females were and doing 45% of snatch and males only 55. So there's an overrepresentation of females at the level of second Bundesliga. If you go to the first Bundesliga in snatch, females did account for roughly 40% of athletes in snatch and males for 59.8% or 60%. So that's pretty much where it should be or where it would be expected. If you go to clean and jerk, because of the mechanic of this deduction system, females only accounted for 34% of clean and jerks, or athletes in clean and jerk, right? And males for 66. So males were overrepresented clean and jerk. Factor-based system is just what you would need, right? You don't need to move those triangles in space. What you need to do is you make the base of the triangle wider, right? You would need to do something like that. Now, all triangles have the same size, but in order to do that, you have to use a multiplier, right? And that's why I'm favoring factor-based system. And actually, as I showed, on the lowest level of weightlifting, so especially in the beginner phase, the scoring system is not something that gives you results that would be considered fair in any way between a light female and a heavy male. So actually, in the league I'm responsible for, I don't use the deduction-based system. I use Sinclair, right? Because the results are just a lot better, right? And it is much fairer between the lifters because of the mechanics I just explained. So again, our system works, but, and it produces great competition, right? As I showed it, right? That one, our most recent team competitions, that was a lot of fun. And I would highly recommend our federation to implement something like that, right? Because it's not just you lifting on your own, it's you lifting with your teammates. And that is something that's really, really worthwhile. But just don't use our score. That's what I want to say at this. Okay, that's pretty much what I have to explain about, or what I can explain about our league and how we run things. So as I said, lower level leagues can use different scoring system. Of course, then if a team qualifies for a higher league, that might shake up their structure, right? So if one of the teams in my league, which is scored by Sinclair, wants to go up, which would be the state level where we are competing in at the moment, there's the deduction system used, and that would probably mean that they would have to exchange a few lifts, right? Because their heavy males would not score well enough, or as well as some light females that they might not use in team competition based on Sinclair. So there's some issues with that. But as I said, on the level I'm responsible for, I don't see the deduction-based system giving appropriate results.
So what is the way for the team to move up the league?
Become champion?
No, if they, let's say at your level, if they want to go to the higher level and...
Yeah, so as I said, the level we're... District level, there's currently in Bavaria, so that's the state I'm living in, we've got three district leagues. Basically, the champions of this league are qualified for the state league. So they can apply to go up. Of course, if there's only one spot up, because there's one team from state league can go up to the second Bundesliga. But of course, there's also the chance, depending on the Bavarian teams finishing in second Bundesliga, that there's one team going down from second Bundesliga to Bayern Liga, however, state league. So that way, there might not be an open spot, but there's also one team that has to go down from state to district league, right? So there's also the chance that teams pull out, right? That they say, we don't want to do state league anymore. We want to go down on our own, right? So there might be one or more open spots per year. And then if there's a matching number of teams from district league that want to go up, they just go up. If there's more teams from district league that want to go up, then there's open spots. There will be another competition. So you might have three teams having one competition to decide whether if there's one or two spots out, which one or two teams of them are allowed to go. That's pretty much the way you go. So first of all, lift good in the season you're at. Then, basically hope that there's an open spot, or if there's more teams interested in getting that spot in the higher league, you have to do another competition to decide. I would say there might be something between 150 to 200 teams in Germany competing. at the moment.
Awesome. Thank you. That's very interesting. Okay, I have one more question, the practical one. So in the first Bundesliga, you have international athletes coming in, but they also have to, if they want to qualify for Olympics, they have compulsory events around the world, Worlds, Continental Championships, Grand Prix competitions to attend. So how it works with Bundesliga and their commitment to the team?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you do is, I mean, you're not going to be in top shape for every single competition, right? You've got half a year. Also from a coaching perspective, my athletes, I'm preparing them differently from a, say, usual schedule, because we have a lot more competitions here in Germany due to that league system, right? So we have a lot more opportunities to lift good, right? But we also have to lift up more, right? So it also changes the training and the preparation, right? Because you can't really run a training plan where you're peaking for a competition in half a year if you have all these if you have a full season within this time period, right? Doesn't really work. So you need to adjust your training. What I think the clubs in first Bundesliga, they have more than two, and so they might have four or five of them, and they're switching in between. So I would assume they first of all look at, they have a discussion with their athletes and be like, okay, like athlete one and two are going to lift the first, right? And then athletes three and four might lift at the second, right? And what you also do on those international lifters is they might not go to 100%, right? They might go, also our international lifters, right? They won't lift every single competition at 100%. Pretty much no matter where you are at your training, I would say could always go to 90%, right? And you will still score a lot of points, right? So that's something they do. And of course, you're not having Bundesliga competitions at the dates of world championships. So that's that, because also the top level German lifters would not be there.
Yeah, I meant international. I meant all the comers from abroad and the German lifters who will be preparing for the international competitions too.
Yeah, but as I said, that's something they do, right? There's always, as I said, for the spectator, it might not be so obvious how a competition will finish. But for me as a coach, and for the coaches in Bundesliga especially, they can kind of figure it out, right? And they can be like, okay, this one today, it's gonna get, right? We need to lift big weight. Or they might be like, we got this, or we don't have a chance, right? And then they might be like, you will pretty regularly see 10 kg increases on the males, right? So say a male that can, international level male that might have a top lift of 200 kg in clean and jerk, he might do a competition like 170.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which would be an opener if he would really go for 200, or he might do something like 165, 175, 180, right? That's 50 kg below his best, what he could do in peak shape, right? It's something he could, that's maybe just accounted for as a heavy training session.
Yeah, exciting though.
Right, and as I said, if you kind of know the other, right? I also, if we go to a competition, I always know upfront if there is a chance that this one could get tight, or if I'm like, okay, this, if everything somewhat normal, this is going to be a clear competition. I am heavily favoring every factor-based system, right, over our deduction system. If you're asking the question whether Sinclair or Q-points using the adjustment I just showed would be best, I did an analysis of that. What I did was I took all the results from Bundesliga 2018-19 season up until the season 2022-2023. That was 5,106 total results. Out of that, 4,533 results were a total. So as I said, there's always some bots occurring. There's always changing.
Switching, yeah.
Athletes between snatch and clean and jerk. So I have a data set, 4,533 results here. And what I did was I took the, or I ranked that, right? I looked at which athlete ranks first or which performance ranks first in our deduction-based system. And then I ran it all the way down to rank 4,533, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I took the same data set and I put it in Sinclair and I put it in Q-Points. And then I again had a look how they rank against each other, right? So I can see the how the same performance would be ranked in the different system, and now I can say how they differentiate between each other. I did that, and what I came up with is this. So this is comparing Sinclair and our deduction based system. What you can see here, the black spots are the above median body weight males. The gray ones are the lighter males. Red is the heavy females, and orange the light female. So as you can see, if you're using Sinclair, females, especially athletes performing below 100 point or performing below a score of 100 in our system, would rank severely lower, right? And heavy males, especially those that are in the score of say 60, they would rank a lot better. So using Sinclair compared to our relative deduction score at the moment would solve the issue of females, especially on the lower level, scoring too many points or scoring too good, right? And it would solve the issue of lower level males not getting as good a result. But as I showed, on the higher level, that should change, right? On the higher level, females, that's the world records I showed, right? So there's some point where it changes, right? And there's some point where females should get a better result than males currently. Should get a better result compared to males than they are currently. You can't do that on Sinclair, as you can see. But if I do the same with Q-Points, I get this. So here you can see, so this is this, by the way, this is how the placement changed, right? On the lower level, say below a score of 100 today, heavy males especially would still gain ground. Their ranking would rise, right? So here, for example, this athlete, 106 kg body weight, a total of 273, he would get a rank of 3,902 in our deduction based system. Using Q points, he would rank 2,625. So over one, close to 1,300 ranks higher, right?
Mm-hmm.
This issue would still be solved, and the light females would is on the lower level of performance, lower level of course, they are still pretty damn good, right? But they would lose rank. If we go to the top, that would change if you're using this Q-Points system, right? If you go to the top, females would get a better rank and males would get a lower rank, right?
Mm-hmm. Especially lighter males.
Yes, that's a reason why I am personally also favoring Q-Points at this, because this is solving both issues, right? This is solving the issue of lower level females being scored too high, and it is solving the issue of high level females getting a score that is too low compared to males of equal level.
Awesome. Two last questions I always ask. One is, what is your favorite color?
I prepared for this question. That's why I'm wearing today.
All right.
Here's the answer.
Awesome. Noted. And would you be open for people to contact you if they have any questions?
Sure.
How should they contact you?
Email Philip Lentner. My name is probably somewhere below.
Yeah.
And Philip Lentner, just the way my name was written, nothing in between, @yahoo.de.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Philip. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.